We continue this afternoon asking the question, what is God like? We're looking together at a number of the things the Bible has revealed or God has revealed about himself in the Bible. We speak of God's characteristics or his attributes. And in preparation for that, I would have us look together again at Belgia Confession Article 1. In the Forms and Prayers books, if you have them, page 153, in the Trinity Psalter Hymnal, page 855 in the back. Belgia Confession, Article 1. The only God. We all believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that there is a single and simple spiritual being whom we call God. Eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, unchangeable, infinite, almighty, completely wise, just, and good, and the overflowing source of all good. And you may think it a bit odd and perhaps less than simple, but our focus this afternoon is on the single word simple, which sort of sets the tone or lays the groundwork for all of the other attributes that we will, the Lord willing, seek to unpack from the Scriptures together in the weeks to come. God is simple. I invite you to turn with me in the Bible as well to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. You will not find or you will not hear in the reading of this chapter or, in fact, in the reading of any chapter in the Bible, the expression, God is simple. We will find in this particular chapter, God is light. We will find in this particular book of the Bible, God is love. And there are other ways that the Bible expresses itself when describing God. And it does so not merely in a descriptive way, but in a definitive way. God is light. God is love. God is holy. God is, we will see, all of his attributes. Let's just listen to this portion of Scripture, 1 John chapter 1. This is the Word of God. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the Word of life. The life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and declare to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare to you that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that your joy may be full. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, we walk in darkness. We lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. So far from the holy word of God. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, what is God like? We continue to ask that question, and we come to words that have been given to us in the Belgic Confession, giving us a summary of what we believe we've heard from the Word of God that suggests that God is simple. And I trust you find that a bit confusing. I suspect you wonder about that sort of designation. If someone asks the question, what is God like? Your first response is not likely going to be simple. We understand for us to speak of the glorious majesty, the beauty, the holiness, the wondrous character of God in all of His perfections. We speak of the one who is high and lifted up, the one who is from eternity to eternity, God. We acknowledge that simple is not the first word that comes to mind. And so we may perhaps be wondering, what is the point of this? We may perhaps be wondering, why would we even begin to speak about something like this? Perhaps in all of our evangelistic opportunities, every opportunity we've had to speak about God to people who've asked, to people who need to know, we haven't led off with saying, well, God is simple. And I suspect that many of us, even who have been to church for many years, have not thought a whole lot of what we're going to be talking about here this afternoon in terms of what we call the simplicity of God. It's never entered into your mind. And this is perhaps new for many, many people. We want to acknowledge that though this is not in the Bible, the particular phrase, God is simple, this is a characteristic, an overarching characteristic of the one true God that is true to reality. It's true to who God is. And I hope that there is something encouraging in terms of our consideration of this together this afternoon. Even as I hope that we do not become overwhelmed with it, as I acknowledge the whole concept of God being simple is not too simple as we understand simple. And if we just read a little bit further down the list in Belgic Confession Article 1, we see some of the things that are said about God. He's eternal. He's incomprehensible. If God is incomprehensible, that's beyond us. And He is beyond us because He's God and we're not. He's the Creator and we're but creatures created by Him. He's infinite. We are finite. And as is said, the finite can't comprehend the infinite. We can't get our minds around the infinite. That's not what we're talking about, therefore, when we talk about the fact that God is simple. I'll try to summarize it for us by way of completing this introduction this afternoon. And then I hope to unpack it with a number of questions that we want to ask together. And I want to just state, I hope simply, that when we say that God is simple, we are saying God is. And we've seen that already. We've already had a sermon on the fact that God is. He is the eternally existent one. But God is all of His attributes. God is all of His attributes all of the time. If I were to have to summarize what it means to say that God is simple, that would be it. Maybe that doesn't sound so simple, but I hope it's encouraging And I trust that by the time we're through here together this afternoon, we'll have some sense for why that's a blessing for us to know. God is all of his attributes all of the time. So we see a list that's given to us here in Belgic Confession Article 1. It's not an exhaustive list. It's a representative list of the things that we might say about God. And what we're saying here about God is God is all of his attributes all of the time. Now, it's important for us to try to get our minds around that a little bit here at this point before we delve in and start unpacking each attribute one at a time, so that we're prevented from the idea of thinking that, well, God is a little bit this and a little bit that and a little bit the other thing. He's eternal, but he's also incomprehensible, but he's also invisible, but he's also unchangeable. He is wise, he's just, he's also good. But that would not be faithful to who God is. He's not part this, part that. And God is not living as an eternal contradiction with himself. God is not living in turmoil with himself. God is all of this simple. That's what we mean by saying God is simple. God is all of his attributes all of the time. And I hope we can appreciate how that's a blessing for us to know. And again, we're speaking about things that are beyond us, because we're different than God. We're creatures. We're fallen. We have our own struggles. And that makes us different. We need to remember that as well. If I could just say it that way, we're not simple. We're complicated. God is simple. So let's ask the first question: who wants to be called simple? I think I was called simple once, and I don't think it was a compliment. And if you've ever been called simple, you probably understand that is something of a put down. And I've alluded already, I believe, to the fact that when we say God is simple, it's not at all in contradiction to the fact that we're going to a few sermons from now, a few weeks, 3-4 weeks from now, Lord willing, speak about the fact that God is incomprehensible. You just can't comprehend. You can't get your mind around how glorious, how majestic God is. So when we speak about God is simple, we're not saying, well, that's easy. We're not speaking about the level of challenge, the level of difficulty of the subject matter. We would say from the Bible in many places, God is God. He's above and beyond us. Think of the language of Isaiah 55, verse 8. His thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways not our ways. I think we heard the language at the beginning of Psalm 145 for our call to worship this afternoon. God is great. He is greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable, his ways past finding out. Or think of the doxology. I hope to be using the words of this Romans doxology in a form, at least, from Romans 11. At the end of this service, and the Lord willing, at the end of the services to come, as we ask the question, what is God like? Romans 11, verse 33, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgment and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has become his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be repaid to him? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I think those references from Isaiah, Psalm 145, Romans 11 are enough to have us understand and appreciate. When we say God is simple, we're not saying that understanding the glory of his character is an easy thing. We're not saying that. And certainly, as we recognize in our interactions with each other, to call someone else simple is a put down. We're not doing that with regard to God either. To say that this guy is a bit of a simpleton or something to that effect is, again, not a compliment. It is a put down. It suggests that there's something lacking. He doesn't have it all together, so to speak. That's in the way that we use the word. But that is certainly not what we're saying about God. There's nothing lacking. That is the point. He is God. And He is all of these things that are said about Him all the time. There's nothing lacking at all. Well, who wants to be called simple? We get that, and we're sort of clarifying what we don't mean when we say that God is simple. Let me just reiterate again what we do mean in a summary statement. God is all of His attributes. God is everything that is said about Him all of the time. Now, the next question, it's not complicated. That's not complicated. Let's assert that. That's the point with regard to saying that God is simple. He's not composed of parts. He's not a complex being in that sense. Now, what we mean by that is that when we said there's nothing lacking in God, there's nothing that needs to be tacked onto God. Well, we know God is holy, but it would be nice if you could tack onto His holiness the fact that He is love. And you might want to tack onto that the fact that He is faithful. But when we speak about God being all of His attributes all of the time, there is no such complexity. There's no tacking on. When I think of tacking on, I'm reminded of a property my daughter and son-in-law bought a few years back. When they moved into their new home, there was this monstrosity of a shack at the back of the property. And we realized after the fact that this monstrosity was a monstrosity because when you looked at it carefully and understood and got around and got into the various compartments of this shack, you realize actually originally it was a horse trailer. And someone took the wheels off the horse trailer and they put a roof on this end and they tacked a room onto that end and another room onto the front. It was just one tack on after another. It was tacky, to say the least. And it was a monstrosity, as I say. We say with regard to God, He is not that. He is not complicated. Again, speaking of us as humans, you might say we were made up of many parts. I've got fingers, I've got toes, I've got eyes, I've got ears. And again, we do not say that with regard to God and His attributes. He just is. He just is. Maybe it's helpful for us to think about how complicated life can be for us. I believe it's a status you can assign yourself on Facebook. You know, people can say, I'm single, or I'm married, or I'm in a relationship, I'm engaged, or people sometimes can say it's complicated. And typically when we say of ourselves, it's complicated or I'm complicated, generally we mean something is not quite right. It's a bit messed up. And we even have it as people in our own lives and in our interactions with people. We may know people who have been so kind and so gracious and so helpful. But then there are other times when we meet them at a bad time and they're in a bad way. And we expected that things would be well. We expected that things would be nice. But they flew off the handle. They were angry. And it wasn't pleasant at all. And we might say, it's complicated. We're complicated. Sometimes you don't know what you're going to get in terms of our being bundles of contradictions in our own lives. We can be partly good, you could say, and partly just angry. It's complicated. But that's not the way it is when we speak about God. You know what you have in God. It is not complicated. God is who he says he is all the time. So in the third place, when we ask the question, why confess this about God? We want to say, well, it is biblical. The statement, God is simple, is not in the Bible, but it summarizes what we read all over the Bible. I alluded to 1 John 1, verse 5, God is light. I could allude to 1 John 4, verse 8, God is love. Jesus, God the Son, says of himself, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, the life. And you just go down the line in terms of everything that the Bible says about God. Not just things that you sort of add to God as a nice way to describe God. They are who God is. You want to know what love is? You must look at God. God is love. You don't know love. You don't understand love if you don't know God. Not love the way it is meant to be. You want to know what truth is? You need to look to God. You want to know what holy is? You have to look to holy God. And you go down the line. So we're not merely saying some things about God as though we're talking about adjectives, descriptors, describing God. So God is truthful, you could say. That would be an adjective. No, we're saying this is not merely descriptive, it's definitive. God is the truth. An adjective might be God is loving. But the Bible is more definitive. God is love. An adjective might be God is wise. But the Bible is plain when it speaks about God. He is wisdom personified. And what we're saying, therefore, another way of summarizing this, is that there is nothing bigger than God to which God must be held accountable. There's not some broad general concept of love that lives beyond God. If you want to know what love is, you must know God. And so therefore we say what it means to say that God is simple is that he is not living as a bundle of contradictions with himself. We say God is love all of the time. God is truth. All of the time. God is light all of the time. God is righteous. God is just. God is perfect all of the time. We confess this about God because this is what the Bible says about God. And because it's a great encouragement for us to know that the God we confess from the Bible is who he says he is all of the time. Again, in our messed up situation, in our complicated lives, when we are bundles of contradictions, boys and girls, maybe you know it as well. You want to ask dad or mom for something. You sort of check things out a little bit. Did dad wake up on the right side of the bed this morning? Or is everything going to be okay? Sometimes you don't know what you're going to get. I speak honestly in terms of the way we can function because of our sinfulness. because of the complications sin brings. But with God, there's no such confusion. There's no contradiction. God is never conflicted with himself. And again, I think it's maybe helpful to play off what we know and experience in our own lives over against what the Bible says about God. I can speak to you from experience of what it is to have to wear different hats in life. To have to be a husband, a father, grandfather, a pastor, a neighbor, a citizen. And you could perhaps add to your own list. And you recognize that in terms of those responsibilities, it gets complicated. And there are sometimes contradictions. And sometimes you want to throw up your hands and say, you know, it's not easy to be me. What I want us to understand when we say that God is simple, God never throws up his hands and says, it's not easy to be me. God is eternally delighted in being God. God is happy to be God, and that's a great thing for us to know. You always know what you're going to get when we think about who God is and what that means. He's not composed of parts. He's revealed to us in the Bible as well as God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And we're not saying he's part Father, part Son, part Holy Spirit. We understand that God is one in his purpose. God the Father, from before the foundation of the world, has chosen a people to whom he would show eternal life, and we rejoice in that blessing. God the Son is one in purpose with God the Father, and he lays down his life for sinners like you and me. And God the Holy Spirit works in such a way that he takes of the things of Christ and he declares them to us, and he glorifies Jesus, and he makes Jesus real in our lives, all of one purpose. Simple in that sense. But we speak as well of the glorious work of God in the sending of his Son. And this is where it all sort of comes to a glorious crescendo. It all comes down to earth for us. And what we see at the cross of Christ, when the Lord Jesus Christ has come in obedience to his Father, out of love for his Father and out of love for sinners like you and me, what we see at the cross is that God is all of his attributes all of the time. At the cross, we see that God is holy all of the time. We see that God has poured out his perfect justice. God is just all of the time. We see that God has loved sinful humanity. He did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. God is love all of the time. God is faithful all of the time. Perhaps you remember some of the things we said in terms of the presence of God in suffering. We narrowed it down to four things. God is just. God is good. God is strong, powerful, sovereign. And God is faithful. And again, all of these things we see are true about God all of the time. And we see that definitively at the cross. And you recognize that it's at the cross that the blessing of knowing this God comes to its own for us. We may know this God through Jesus Christ. We needn't be afraid of his justice. We needn't run away from his holiness. We may run to him because he is who he says he is all the time. There are no conflicts with God in terms of, you know, sometimes people throw out that false dilemma. Well, if there is difficulty in this world, if there is suffering in this world, either one of two things must be true. Either God is not strong enough to deal with it, or he's not loving enough to care. Both of these things are utterly false. Indeed, a false dilemma. God is absolutely sovereign, in control, powerful. The language here in the Belgian Confession, he is almighty, omnipotent, we could say, all the time. And he's good all the time. He's righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. There is no picking and choosing with regard to that in God. Now, why is it a blessing to know this? Question number four. Why is it a blessing to know this? It's because of the way he has shown himself to us in all of the beauty of his character, and particularly as we've seen that in the cross of Christ, that we may know that this God is reliable. You know exactly what you're going to get. You may rest in what he's promised. And God has said clearly to us, Jesus has said to us in the Bible, John 6, verse 37, all who come to me, I will in no wise cast out. You may trust that God is always who he says he is in all that he says about himself. And that's a blessing to know. What does this mean for my life? Question five. It means that as conflicted as I may be, as complicated as things may be for me, I may rest in who this God says he is, because that's who he is all the time. And I may rejoice in the blessing that God has shown himself to be holy all the time. At the cross, God has shown himself to be just in punishing sin in his Son on the cross. He's just all the time. I may rejoice that this is love. Not that we love God, but that he gave his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. God is love all the time. God is faithful to what he says all the time. I may take him at his word. I may run to him. I may look to him and trust that he receives sinners as he said he would. And that's the blessing that we come to know all the time, because of who God is. Now, it also means that as we look at God and all of the glory of his character, we ought not to be the kind of people who pick and choose. You know, I like what the Bible says about the love of God, but holiness, that's a little much for me. Justice, that's overwhelming for me. But you see, what you're doing when you're taking parts of God, and God cannot be divided into parts, is that there is the danger that you're not worshiping God at all. You're worshiping an idol. Many people have an idea about God, this God they call love, but they don't know the Bible, or they don't, rather, the God of the Bible, who's revealed himself in the Bible. God is all of his attributes all of the time, so there can be no choosing. You know, I'll set God, the God of the Bible, aside as long as I can have love. People have all kinds of ideas today about what love is, what love entails. Love wins, is what people say. But if there is no rooting in who God is as love, and no understanding of what God says about himself as the God who is all of his attributes, then that is less than helpful, to say the least. When I rest in who God is, because he is who he says he is all the time in all of these ways, I can be glad. And I don't have to pick and choose between what I think might be nicer about God. But one other thing I would have us think about in terms of what it is then as we rest in this God. We begin to plead with God, as we've done from Psalm 86, that we would begin to reflect something of this in our own lives. We'd become something like God. Not complicated, not conflicted in terms of divided loyalties. And so we pray with Psalm 86, verse 11, Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. And it is our desire, when we know this God by the gracious work of his Spirit, that our lives also begin to show it. And this morning we spoke briefly of what we called the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Many times we get that wrong. We just do it instinctively. We speak of the fruits of the Spirit, plural, but that's not what the Bible says. In Galatians 5, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, long-suffering, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. The fruit, singular. And so there will be something in our lives where we are not desiring now to pick and choose. Well, I like to be a loving person, but a faithful person, that's a different story. By God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ, we desire now to reflect something of this singleness of mind, this uncomplicated devotion. Yeah, we struggle with the reality of the conflict in our lives. And we can be glad. We can be glad that a number of things that we've read from 1 John 1 are also a reflection of the simplicity of God. He is who he says he is in all of his attributes, all of the time. 1 John 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just to forgive our sins. He is forgiving to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He is who he says he is. And we can take him at his word. It's never a case of you don't know what you're going to get. We take him at his word. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We may know this God, the God who is God of light, the God of love, God of truth, the God of all of his attributes, all of the time. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for the glory of your character. Thank you that there are no inconsistencies in you ever. Thank you that there is no contradiction in you ever. Thank you that you are who you say you are all the time, in all of your attributes. And thank you that we may see that as such a good thing, especially as we look to you in Jesus Christ. We thank you that you showed yourself, O God, to be true to who you are in every way, in lovingly sending your Son to be a Savior for sinners. We pray that you'd help us to know you, to draw near to you in him. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.